So we come to the last topic, and actually we're kind of done talking about the treatment of CLL because this little bonus thing. And I'll just start by saying, as I mentioned, I do interviews with all the faculty, and about a week ago, I was interviewing Jeff, and he did his presentation. Jeff had just been involved with another conference we did, which was on CLL and COVID. How do you manage patients who have COVID with CLL? What do you do in testing and all? And I'm just going to say that that conversation I recorded, and it's going to be in a podcast very soon, like in the next day or so, Oncology Today. I suggest you listen to it. Jeff, would you, I don't know, you told me that it's a little bit of an embargo situation, so I don't know exactly what you can say, but I'm just going to say, would you like to talk about it?
Sure. So with the coronavirus, we know that the virus probably caused some direct damage, but a lot of the damage comes from the hyperactive immune response. ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome, is really a manifestation of excessive cytokines and excessive inflammation within the lungs. And, you know, if you think about the fact that we've been using drugs to modulate immune cancers, it might not be a surprise that some of these drugs might also affect other important pathways in the immune system. And it turns out that it's been modeled in mice previously, well before COVID, that if you gave them a fatal dose of influenza, you could save them by giving them ibrutinib. And it was pretty well modeled out as to why, which is that the macrophages, when they swallow these viral particles, are the cells that produce the cytokine storm. And these viral particles trigger the macrophages through BTK pathways. And so it was not a leap, really, to consider that BTK inhibitors could be effective in this situation. And so we're looking forward to publishing, hopefully quite soon, some early experience using these agents specifically amongst patients with COVID, but not necessarily cancer or anything. So it was specifically going after coronavirus with these agents.
So COVID patients with ARDS in the hospital, basically.
Yeah, sick patients in the hospital, high flow oxygen, some patients intubated, and then what happens to them when they start BTK inhibitors.
Anything else you want to say?
Look forward to the manuscript coming out. It should be pretty exciting.
So stay tuned. We're going to send you all out an email with the link to the podcast with Jeff explaining it and the link to the actual paper when it gets published, which will be very soon. And for all the exciting things that we talked about tonight in terms of CLL, I think you'll also find this very, very stimulating and exciting. I have to ask Brad, any thoughts about what you're hearing?
You know, I'm actually not shocked to hear that BTK inhibitors might help blunt the vigorous immune response in COVID-19. It makes physiologic sense, and I've been waiting to see some clinical data, and I'm anxious to see Jeff's paper.
Yeah. I think we should give credit to the manufacturers here for doing the right thing, though, which is developing phase 3 protocols, because anything we have at this point is hypothesis generating or maybe hypothesis extending. And when you do research, you get excited about what you do and you want to believe the things you're seeing. But ultimately, phase 3 studies are what's going to answer this. And those are being initiated currently.
Right. And there is a press release out there stating that there's going to be a phase 3 trial of the BTK inhibitor, calibrutinib. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing when you think about all these trials that they're doing on, you know, they're getting answers a lot quicker than you do with cancer because people are so sick and dying. There are lots of randomized studies going on, antivirals, et cetera. Jeff, one of the things you were talking about when we talked about this, you kind of went through the 4-pronged approach to controlling COVID, starting with testing. Can you kind of go through that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that we will remain at risk of the consequences of coronavirus until we have abundant available testing. I think that's one leg of the table, but one leg will not keep a table standing. So I think that we need effective antiviral therapy. And my suspicion is that that would work best at those early stages where it's not the hyperimmune response going on. But for those patients who get into that hyperimmune response, probably some sort of anti-inflammatory, whether that's tocilizumab or JAK2 inhibitors, other agents that are being studied in this space. And then ultimately, ideally, a vaccine that would be preventative. And I think that once we get all 4 legs of that, we will hopefully get this under better control.
And of course, we heard early on that a lot of the morbidity from COVID is from cytokine release syndrome. We were talking about CAR-T the other night with lymphoma. We have an entire program on CAR-T in a couple of weeks. And there, of course, you see T cells are transfused into patients. You see cytokine release, hypotension, fever, neurologic problems. Just kind of curious, Jeff, you talked about the biology of cytokine release in COVID. Is it similar to the cytokine release you see with CAR-T therapy?
Boy, you know, I don't know that we know enough, but we certainly know that if you have too many cytokines out and about, that the damage created by the immune system can be very real. A hyperactive immune system is problematic. And whether that's generated by CAR-T or by macrophage activation syndrome, there are a number of ways to get there. But just as we've known in rheumatoid arthritis and lupus for years, a misdirected immune system can be detrimental and problematic.
And actually, ibrutinib is used in graft versus host disease. I think you were telling, Jeff, were you telling me about the patient on rheumatoid arthritis and CLL and the rheumatoid arthritis?
Yeah.
Not better?
Absolutely. I think that the overlap between rheumatologic conditions and lymphoproliferative disorders is abundant and under-explained and under-reported, but in many cases, we see overlap. And recently was treating a patient who had to come off her BTK inhibitor for progression, and rheumatoid arthritis became almost unmanageable coming off the therapy. And so we have made adjustments and got her on a different BTK inhibitor, and her rheumatoid arthritis is improving. And, you know, when these drugs were first being designed, really the data we had before we launched the first in human phase one study for ibrutinib, we were studying it in mouse rheumatoid arthritis, mouse models of rheumatoid arthritis. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that these drugs work there as well.
So thank you so much to the faculty for working with us on this project. Thank you all for attending.